This programme was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Welcome to the second episode of What's the Ska, the documentary about the Irish ska scene. I am Eanna Dowling. In this episode, we're going to hear how Intergalactic keep the old-school Jamaican sound alive. We're going to visit several of Ireland's ska festivals, but first, we're going back to the roots to tell the story of the birth of ska.
Forward! March!
Jamaica became independent of the United Kingdom on the 6th of August 1962 after 5 years of self-governance. The new nation found a new sound as it forged a national identity, and that sound, that music, was ska.
Don't be sad and blue.
Radio, dance halls and sound system parties were dominated by American rhythm and blues records. In 1963, Clement Coxon Dodd opened Studio One at 13 Brentford Road in Kingston, where Uptown met Downtown. He used 2 6-input mixing desks, recording onto a one-track tape machine to get his unique sound. More importantly, he put a talented group of musicians on the payroll. Instead of getting paid by the session, Don Drummond, Tommy McCook, Val Bennett, Roland Alfonso and others had the time and financial security to develop a sound and cut a ton of records. Collectively, they became known as the Scatolites. One Sunday, Coxon called guitarist Ernie Ranglin and bass player Cluett Johnson to a meeting. They would create a new sound, an indigenous new Jamaican music for the new nation. The first record they hit on was Easy Snappin', with vocals by Theophilus Beresford.
I think that's when it became uniquely Jamaican. You had people that would have been playing jazz in the hotels and maybe some rhythm and blues as well for dancing. And people would have been playing rhythm blues records on the sound systems. So then the American records are starting to dry up when rock and roll becomes a big thing and it's not as popular in Jamaica. So then they're kind of looking to make their own records. So they get the guys that are the musicians from the jazz bands in the hotels to come and record either instrumentals or be the backing band for the vocal artists. Very much the vocals were a kind of a rhythm and bluesy kind of style. But what the musicians then brought to the table was they were very accomplished jazz musicians, but they often were hanging out with the kind of the Rasta brethren as well, and they brought that mix together and created something completely brand new in the studio, which became called ska.
Cecil Campbell, known to the world as Prince Buster, a boxer, a persuader, an enforcer, the operator of the Voice of the People sound system, a singer, a composer, a sharp-suited member of the Nation of Islam, Prince Buster approached the Nyabingi drum troupe of Count Ozzy and persuaded them to cut a record with the Folks Brothers. O Carolina drove Kingston wild.
Well, Prince Buster would have been a producer and a performer, so he would have had his own sound system, so he would be kind of making recordings to play on that sound system to be ahead of everybody else. And he was putting out records as well, so things like the Folks Brothers, the original version of O Carolina that Shaggy did a very famous cover of, that kind of goes back to the very folky religious aspects of the roots of reggae. That kind of drumming that was happening there, that would have been connected to, I guess, what you call Nyabingi drumming, if you like. But what the Rastas were kind of doing up in the hills.
That's DJ Ian Fiasco. He identifies some of the roots of the music, roots that former slaves had brought with them to the plantations of the British Empire.
It was very much influenced by the different religious groups like the Revival and Pocomania and all these different kind of religious, I don't want to call them cults because that's not really doing them justice, but they were kind of very much going back to the era of slavery and the Maroons who managed to escape and set up their own encampments in the hill and keep a link back to their African roots. You've got lots of different threads all coming together. People would be singing while they were working, work songs or kids' nursery rhymes. All of that stuff fed in to what was being produced. It was a local flavour that people would recognise. So ska wasn't just Jamaican version of R&B, there were all these other factors that came into it.
Ska came to England on a wave of migration. The Blue Beat record label distributed Jamaican records to the West Indian community. Barred from nightclubs because of racial discrimination, they put on their own shebeen house parties and sound system dances in church halls, staying in touch with the homeland through the music, through the food and the dancing. In 1964, Ireland experienced the joy of ska when a huge international hit got to number one in the charts here. Chris Blackwell of Island Records had brought guitarist Ernie Ranglin and singer Millie Small to London to record an old American rhythm and blues tune with British session musicians. The production was sharper than anything Kingston could muster, and the world sang along. Irish band that keeps the old school ska of Jamaica alive is Interscalactic. Before we meet their singer Ray Cranley, I had a chat with a ska ambassador in the grounds of St. Finbar's Cathedral in Cork.
I prefer a big brass section, you know. There's some really good bands who have like even 5, 6, 7 different brass players. That's awesome. Yeah, the sound is just overwhelming.
Yeah. And Interscalactic do that really
yes.
well. Yes,
yeah. Oh, I love them. They're so good. Yeah.
And another band who do their own material.
Yeah, that's true. They started doing that. Fair play to them. The first record they released is really, really good. And I play some of the material when I'm DJing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And it works. It's not like it's like the odd song everybody leaves the dance floor. No, not at all. You know, it fits in very well with the vibe and yeah, brilliant.
Ray Cranley told me how the Scatolites and other Jamaican bands have influenced Interscalactic.
You went right back to Jamaica, and in the early days of ska and the birth of ska in Jamaica, there was this wonderful band called the Scatolites, which seems to me to be a kind of a model for what Interscalactic are doing.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, they'd be like the basis of a lot of the songs. We do a lot of their songs. we cover a lot of their songs, and that's kind of that, them and Byron Lee and the Dragonaires as well. That, those two bands would be featured heavily in our set. But that was literally it. The Scatlights was the kind of the brainchild. It was like, we want to do a band like the Scatlights. And then obviously then we started looking at things like Laurel Aiken and Prince Buster and stuff like that as well, and trying to put some of that into the set as well. But yeah, it would be, the Scatlights would have been what we'd have done. It's actually, it's interesting enough, our trombone player, Chris Rooney, played with the Scatlights on their last tour in Ireland. And when he was given the set, he already had knew most of the songs.
Intergalactic play some of the early 1960s ska tunes, but they also interpret contemporary pop tunes.
Sometimes for Electric Picnic, we might pick like one of the main acts and just do their song and only literally play at Electric Picnic, and that's it. We may not do it again. And that's where the Outcast one came from. When Outcast played Electric Picnic, we decided to do Hey Ya, and it just kind of still works, and the crowd seems to love it. We love playing it, so we kept it in the set. So like, you look at what the Scatlights were doing at the time, they were taking a lot of movie themes and they were taking a lot of our songs and scaffolding them. So we decided we'll take the same approach. So like that, we were looking at some, it's kind of find a bit difficult sometimes with some of the more modern songs, but Hey Ya just works.
As everybody in a band knows, you never know who's at your gigs. You might end up on the telly.
So it came about, we were playing Electric Picnic one year. We did a couple of gigs at it, and we were playing the Body and Soul main stage at Electric Picnic during the day. Which was a dream of mine to do with ever since I've gone to Electric Picnic. So it was fantastic. We were really building up for this particular gig. It's only a handful of people we started, but by the end of the set, the place was just black, just full of people. And it turned out that there was an RTE talent scout looking. They were looking basically to get a band that could play live on the Late Show. Believe it or not, it's generally only vocals, kind of like a karaoke. When a band goes on, they just have a backing track and they sing along. They were looking at a live band, so they approached us literally the day after Electric Picnic and said, "Do you want to play Late Show?" We ended up getting that in and going in. We chose Simmer Down. I think they actually requested it. I think they had a look at what we kind of had. I think we had a couple of recordings up on SoundCloud. They chose Simmer Down, which is an old Bob Marley song, and asked us to do it. We said, yeah, we do that. So when we came in, and basically because it was live, both the videographers and the sound engineers wanted us to go through a couple of times. So we actually played it about 10, 15 times beforehand. You know, half of it for the videographers and half for the sound engineers. It was a great experience. They brought an ad on, and we played for the crowd, and then it was literally go time. It was kind of funny because we knew how everything was going to go, where all the cameras were going to go. Great to see for me, who was like being involved in loads of bands and within the reggae and ska scene. It's amazing to have, like, I know I suppose it's the band I'm in, so it's great, but it's amazing to have that representation on live RTE telly and Irish telly, you know, that kind of way. I'm very proud of being in a band that got to do that, you know. And hopefully in the future we'll see a couple of other bands like the likes of the Bionic Rats or the Skatuettes or whatever. Hopefully they get in there and do that as well, you know.
Intergalactic have recorded an EP of original music.
Yeah, we just wanted to get something recorded. We had a couple of originals. We would have liked to have a few more, but look, that's what happens. But we said, whenever else we'll get in and we'll get these done. We got a studio, big room, isolated some of the things, like going for guitar amp space, then had just like baffles up around the drums, baffles in front of the brass. And it was literally a case of, right, one, two, three, go. And then afterwards, then the only thing we kind of overdubbed was vocals on that one track. We just overdubbed the vocals. Other than that, everything was done as you hear it, is the way it was done. And I was, again, to pay homage to the way it was done back in the day. Everyone just get into the studio and they press the red button, said record, and they just recorded. So we wanted to get that live vibe, that live feel into the record. And we hope we did it. I feel like we've done it, but like, hopefully the audience can appreciate that as well, you know?
So, would you like to go to a ska festival? There's a whole lot of them happening in Ireland. Joe Behan from Ska Patrol gave me the overview.
It's great to see that the different ska festival things going on, like Bully that went for 2010 to 2016. Tremor Ska Festival started out in 2013 and still going. Ska Rocks, which you played a few times over the years, I think that's in its fourth year this year. And the Cork Ska and Reggae Festival, which I think is probably in the second or third year. Then you had the people down in Clare from Ska's doing their Listen Varna, or Scarred and Varna, as it was called, for a while. Belfast, the lads in Boston Manifesto, Ex-Aggressors and all that, putting together the Live Injection in Belfast. So, and then Wexford as well, the Halfway House in Wexford, who the last couple of years done the one on the August weekend. So yeah, it's fairly healthy.
Tell them, oh bella ciao, bella ciao, that a sunlight is double franchise, and wish the bastards drop down dead.
Ian Walsh from the Nail Drivers remembers a Cork reggae festival years back.
They actually had a reggae festival in the 90s. I suppose it would have been mid to late 90s, 94, 90 to 98, there was actually Cork Reggae Festival. Now, as you know, and I know, the Cork Jazz Festival for the last 10 years might as well have been called the Cork Ska Festival, because it's all ska bands, which is great. We love it. And it's the same, we do the Derry Jazz Festival, which should actually be called the Derry Ska Festival. It's nuts.
Nick Barr, the Ska Ambassador, has been to the seaside for his ska.
There's some brilliant festivals. I highly recommend Tremore. It's fantastic. It's a bit like the feeling from the jazz festival weekend, just in a smaller town, and it's all ska and reggae. So what's there not to like, you know? It's awesome.
Owen Kavanagh talked to me about the motivation to put on the Tremor International Ska and Reggae Festival.
My main goal for this festival was original ska music. May it be Irish, English, Scottish, German, Italian, I've had them all. But it had to be originals. We do have a covers band every year, and it's mainly my own band, Skazoo, we do. But, you know, I think everyone knows that. And to make the music more appealing, and especially to me and to more people, is just tell them, right, this two-tone music and the two-tone era and that stuff was the start of something. It's still going so strong all over the world, and this is what's happening to it. And just give people a look at different bands and what they're doing. That's how I started. That's why I wanted to do the festival.
Ska features prominently at regular festivals, including the Electric Picnic. Trenchtown, the Global Green, the Haunt and the Salty Dog have hosted Irish ska, as has the Electric Sideshow of Jerry Fish.
I was on holidays in Italy, and the phone rings. Ah, Ian, it's Jerry, my old mate. And I was there, no way. I remember buying like Emotional Fish albums when I was in school, and chatting away to him, and I'm going to go, this is bananas. So, as you remember, he got up and did two songs with us. He did, I think it was Enjoy Yourself and Should I Stay or Should I Go? And so these are our last two songs of the set. I'm sitting there playing away. Next thing I look over to the steps and I see Jerry doing his shuffle. Up on the stage he comes, and himself and Sean together look fantastic, brilliant. And I was sitting there going, this is bananas.
Festivals give bands and DJs a chance to put their swagger on.
but the connections that people make are important.
The Boolie Festival is very unique because it's very, everybody's a friend. Yeah. Everybody's so friendly. Yeah. You know, I met so many people there at that time. I met Barry Doyle for the first time. I met like people like Aisling Rourke, people like Tiffany Madden, all those people who are big, big in the ska skinhead scene in Ireland. Mm-hmm. And I become very close friends with them. And I rub shoulders with all of them now because I meet them at all these festivals and I become close friends with them. And that's a lot then, like that means a lot to be friends with people of that astute, like, you know, to know them and to rub shoulders, as I say, with all the people as well.
That's Derek Dalton from Listowel, and he is absolutely right. Ska festivals have a great social aspect. I went to Belfast in July for the Live Injection Ska Festival, and I had the chats with Buzz, one of the organisers, who also sings with the Boss Sound Manifesto.
It's a celebration of all things ska in Belfast and in Ireland, with the emphasis on original music from Ireland. Every year we try and make the festival a bit bigger. So last year we added the Junior Rudy's Skank, which is important because lots of people have kids and it creates that sense of community as well. So that's the idea of the festival. The idea of the festival as well is that there's some great bands in Belfast. Panic All Stars, Vibes, The Scallions, of course, Boss Sound Manifesto. It's the encourage that scene to give a forum for all those bands to play, and it's not just the bands, it's the whole thing, and it's having something that's good, and all cities need something that's good, because cities are shit, like, you know. Judging by last night, there was more people here this year than there was this time last year. So each year you hope to be building it and building it and building it. Part of the thing is that it's trying to create a festival where there's a good atmosphere and people are sound, dead on and nice to each other, and we're doing it before the festival of sectarianism, like, you know, so it's great to have a positive, non-sectarian, non-racist, absolutely all-inclusive festival before that pile of pish.
The classic ska track in this episode is chosen by Nick Barr, the ska ambassador. He has chosen an old Jamaican classic, the song that Intergalactic played on The Late Late Show, the song that introduced a superstar to the world.
For the classics, I think the Simmer Down is one that sticks out for several reasons. One, it's a fantastic song. You know, it's very popular, it's very catchy, you can dance to it, it's an amazing tune. But it's also who made it, because it's the Scatterlights and Bob Marley, you know, which is, the connection is just awesome. And, like, I think lots of people don't even know that Bob Marley started out with ska, and that the first album they made, the Wailers and Bob Marley, it's a ska album, you know. And it's also funny if you look at the record, because you have the three lads, short cropped hair and a suit, you know, you wouldn't even recognize them. So quite different. So I think that will be my all-time number one.
That's Simmer Down by the Scatolites and the Wailers, featuring a very young Bob Marley. In the next episode of What's the Ska, we'll meet the Scatuesques. We'll be checking out the look associated with the scene, and we'll be going back to the Trojan era and the spirit of 69. What's the Ska was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee. Written, produced, edited and presented by Anna Dowling. A Community Radio Y'all production. Everybody can do the ska. It's a new dance you can.